141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Celtic's managerial hunt continues with no answer yet on Robbie Keane or Martin O'Neill. St Mirren get set to announce Craig McLeish as their permanent boss. Calvin Miller joins Hearts from Falkirk and Scotland step up their Bolivia preparations. I'm Andrew McLean. Joining me in the studio is Kenny Miller, and you've been away from Scottish football for a little while, Kenny, but the madness is still here.
Yeah, it certainly is, and again, I kept my finger on the pulse as much as I could. Obviously, it was an incredible title race and end to the season. So yeah, pretty much still well-versed as much as I can over Scottish football. But again, it's not stopped yet. We've got a big summer to look forward to as well.
Yeah, loads of domestic matters, but as you say, the World Cup is just around the corner. Scotland's first game not far away. Are you starting to get into a bit of World Cup fever now?
Not quite yet. I mean, I'm looking forward to it. Obviously, it's holiday time for us when it gets to this stage of the season. So, looking forward to a holiday away with the family, and we'll be watching the games from stateside across in Florida.
I think we've got a decent chance.
You know, I think it's I've said since the draw is made in the format now, I think we'll get through. You know, I think we'll win the first game. I think there's we've got a good squad of players again. We've got to make that clear. You're going into it, and I think we should get through. You know, I actually think we should, but I definitely believe we'll win the first game, and it might be enough just to make sure we did at least a point in the second game. We'd pretty much guarantee it. So I'm confident the lads will get the required results and see us through. And the two previous major finals will definitely have stood them in good stead. And I think there has been disappointment in the level of the performances in both of the Euros. That'll definitely be wanting to be put right in the World Cup.
I should clarify, when I said decent chance, I did mean decent chance of getting through the group. I wasn't quite going to the delusional
to
levels
win.
of winning the whole thing. But yeah, you got exactly what I meant. So 0141 951 1025 on the phones. Of course, Celtic fans, we've been talking about it all week, but still no answer on Robbie Keane or Martin O'Neill. It's understood the pair have both held talks this week over the job, but still nothing yet. Are you starting to get concerned? Have you got a preference one way or the other? You can let us know. 0141 951 1025. Very interested to hear from you St Mirren fans this evening, because it looks as if Craig McLeish is going to be given the job on a permanent basis. Is that good news for you? Would you have rather they'd gone down a different route? I want to hear what you think. 0141 951 1025. A decent signing for Hearts and Calvin Miller, you've got to think. Maybe you're a Hearts fan out there looking ahead to the new season, or maybe you are caught up in the World Cup fever and just want to talk all things Scotland ahead of that Bolivia warm-up game at the weekend. 0141 951 1025. And all this week on the show, we're giving you the chance to win weekend tickets to Transmit Festival at Glasgow Green between the 19th and the 21st of June. They're also going to be showing Scotland's game against Morocco on the Friday night. Lots of great music throughout the day. The likes of Kasabian, Lewis Capaldi, the Fratellis are playing across the weekend as well. So all you have to do to enter is phone 0141 951 1025 on the phones. And if your call gets on air, you make a point, you get entered into the draw, and we'll pick a winner at the end of the show. It's over 18s only, and you can find all the T's and C's on our website. So call us now for your chance to win a pair of Transmit tickets. We touched a bit on Scotland there. On the domestic front, the big story is that Celtic still don't have a manager. Is that a surprise to you that it seems to be dragging out a bit now?
Yeah, listen, I think a lot of the Celtic fans will be frustrated that there's not been a resolution to this, because I think a lot of the noises, there's been so long that you've known this was coming towards the end of the season, and they just seem as if it's not been prepared. I think they would have expected a man announced by now, even if that was to keep Martin and Martin O'Neill in charge for another year after the exploits towards the end of the season. So yeah, I can understand the frustrations, and I did feel, you must be, 3 weeks away from Celtic being back in pre-season training. You know, so it's a really, really important time for the club. A lot was made about the recruitment as well over the course of this season. That'll be something, again, a new director of football, I would imagine, new head coach potentially, are all going to have to play a part in this recruitment. So I can understand the frustrations for the Celtic fans.
0141 951 1025 on the phones. Pat is a Celtic fan up first. Pat, how are you feeling about that managerial hunt?
Well, to be honest with you, nice to meet you guys, but to be honest with you, I'd rather keep Martin O'Neill here. But I think the furore over the appointment of Rob, possible appointment of Robbie Keane is well over the top. Obviously, social media, the world we live in now, everyone's got an opinion. The guy went and done a job in Israel. I'm not going to get political, but I think he's a decent manager. I think he's a decent guy. There's a lot of things behind the behind it all. I think give the guy a chance. If he gets a job, maybe Martin Neal's pushed forward up to the board level as an overseer. I don't see the big problem. I think Celtic fans need to step back a little bit and just, you know, again, it's the last season again, all this sort of like division between the fans. Just get behind the team.
Is that, you talk about that division between the supporters and, you know, the board, that did go away towards the end of last season. I think Martin O'Neill played a big part in that, Pat. Do you feel that if Martin O'Neill stays on as manager, that can maybe help the unity at Celtic?
Absolutely. I think Martin O'Neill, what he's done, was absolute miracles what he done last year. And I think if you keep him on in some sort of capacity and he's Robbie Keane in there, give the guy a chance. That's what I'm saying to my fellow Celtic supporters. Give him a guy a chance and let's just see how we progress from there.
Yeah, as Pat says, you know, it's no secret that there are a lot of Celtic fans that would be pushing back on the appointment of Robbie Keane. How do you think that would play out in terms of, would he already be on the back foot? I don't know how many, what percentage of Celtic supporters maybe wouldn't be happy with the appointment of Robbie Keane, but if he came in, would he already be on the back foot with some supporters that would maybe be sort of waiting for that first bad result?
Well, I mean, you only need to go back a year to see where Russell Martin was when he came into Rangers against. Again, it wasn't a great reception. It wasn't received well as the manager of Rangers. It seems like it's gone a similar route for Robbie. But what I would say is, any manager for Rangers or Celtic, when they come in and start winning games, I think the fans get behind them, the team for sure. And I think even if he was appointed, I think the fans would, they would have to accept it because the decision's made and they're there to support their team, you know. And if Robbie came in and started winning games, I think everybody would be forgetting about how they felt about the appointment before it actually happened. So listen, it maybe put him on the back foot initially, but he'd definitely have that opportunity with a squad that's just won the double that he could go and get off to a good start and a flying start to then convince the fans that he's the man.
Pat, how quickly does it need to get sorted, whether it is Martin O'Neill, whether it is Robbie Keane? There's obviously work that needs to be done to the squad. As Kenny says, you know, pre-season will be looming, the players will be back in a few weeks. How quickly does it need to get done so that there's clarity there, that the planning can get started for next season?
Well, for me, it needs to be done tonight or tomorrow. That's it. Just get it done by the end of this week and then move on. And if there's going to be rumbles and people moaning about it, then right, good, all well and good. But we've got a long season. We've got a short pre-season. We need to get stuff, close season, sorry. We need to get things sorted out and get back on the roll. We're just won a beautiful double. Let's get back on the train and roll on again.
So I'm not sure how imminent things look because, as far as I'm aware, Robbie Keane is in South Korea at the moment playing in a Liverpool Legends match. I don't know when the game takes place, but I think he's flown to Seoul in South Korea. So I don't know whether that means that there could be some delay if it's going to be Robbie Keane, that Celtic might have to wait for that to pass, for him to come back to Scotland, or if it's going to be Martin O'Neill. It's impossible really to tell what the process is going to look like because it's already lasted quite a few days.
Yeah, listen, it doesn't seem to me that there's going to be an announcement within the next 24-48 hours. It would that would be surprising. I think it's well documented there has been talks over the course of this week, and maybe they're closer to a decision. I think if Robbie was the guy, I'm sure he could get himself on a plane back and get himself unveiled as the Celtic manager pretty quickly. But for me, it's not when it's announced. They need to make the decision, you know. And if it takes a day or two for that announcement to come out, they need to get clarity. They need to get belief in they're making that right appointment, and then they need to go for it, you know. I think what Martin O'Neill has done and his staff, they've put themselves into a wonderful position with the end of that season. And I think that's why there's a clamour from a lot of Celtic fans to roll the dice again for another year, because they're in there, they've got a really, really good response for the group, and they need the best possible chance to be prepared for this season, because it was, as much as it ended a wonderful, successful season for Celtic, it was a poor season in terms of their performances right up until that last minute, you know, and they got the job done. So I think if it's going to be Martin or Robbie, you need to give them the best possible chance to get in and get prepared as best they possibly can to get a good pre-season and get ready to attack the qualifiers.
Pat, when Martin O'Neill secured that double, was it pretty straightforward to you at that point? Do you think that was the moment that you feel he should have been appointed and earned the job for next season?
Well, I think Matt O'Neill would have said himself he was tired after the efforts he put in. I think he needed a couple of weeks. But I would think Matt O'Neill, like, he still looks a fit man to me. He'd be my first choice to keep giving him a job, what he'd done with Magic last year. So I would still be he'd be top of my list. But listen, does he want it? I think he does. But who knows what goes behind closed doors? We don't know what's happening exactly. But I would certainly not be too disappointed if Robbie Keane did come in, if Martin didn't fancy it. You know, I think Robbie Keane is quite a talented guy. I think he's got a good work ethic, and I think he'd be a decent coach at Celtic.
Because we're saying it's as simple as, you know, whether it's Dermot Desmond, the Celtic board picking between Robbie Keane and Martin O'Neill. Martin O'Neill has that decision to make for himself. He may well be sitting there just trying to work out whether he has the energy to do another year as Celtic manager. He talked about it. I feel that there was maybe at one point during the season when he talked publicly about it, it seemed as if he maybe was leaning towards it going to be his final year in management. But as Celtic started winning more games and he was winning trophies, you maybe got that sense from him that he just got that feeling that he could go again.
Listen, I would, if Celtic asked Martin O'Neill to stay for another year, I would be very, very surprised if he never stayed. I think, I know you play the kind of, it's a bit political when you're asked these types of questions. Do you want to stay? Do you not want to stay? And I think at Martin's stage, his career and his life, he has got probably more than most to think about. But I think that success, and he's clearly still got a hunger for the game. You see him on the touchline, and Pat's right, he's fit as a fiddle. You know, so he's bringing an energy to his team. He's got a young staff about him, a young, hungry, energetic staff about him that can deal with the kind of day-to-day trainings of the team and the tactics and the coaching. And he can be a manager, you know, which is a very, very good manager. So I would be surprised if he never decided to stay on for another year if Celtic wanted to keep him.
Thank you to Pat. 0141 951 1025. Let's speak to Andy, who is up next. Andy, what have you got for us this evening?
Couple of points, Andrew, if you don't mind, if that's all right. Just a question to Kenny. Can't believe we're saying that the Haiti game is actually next Saturday. It's incredible, it's coming upon us that quick, right? Kenny, see when that score came in last night, 4-0, I'm going to be honest with you, since the draw's been made, right, I've been thinking, that's a guaranteed 3 points, right? But see when that score comes in, you start to wonder, you start to look at the results and stuff like that. See, as a player, you're going to tournaments like that, or going to big games, see the results of other teams. Does
it
impact on the players?
You know, I think if you're looking at a team, and you're, now, so again, it's a team we've probably never faced, or I mean, I don't know, Andrew, you'll be able to tell me, is it the first time we're ever going to face them?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
It's and you're going into a huge game in opening game of a World Cup. You're going to be doing your work, you know, so they'll have, no doubt, Steve Clarke and his team and the players and the staff will have looked at that game, and they'll be looking at from a learning perspective to learn about where their strengths are, where their weaknesses are. For me, again, I expect us to beat Haiti, Andy. I really do. Probably the same as you when this draw was made. I'm not underestimating them. I'm not. I think you've got to treat them with full respect. They're in the World Cup the same way we are, and they've earned the right to be there. But I think with our group of players, if we're ever going to have a chance to qualify for the next stages of a major tournament, I think this is as good as it gets in this opportunity at this World Cup. The way the format is, and even with the way the games have been scheduled, you know, I think we've got a real opportunity. And if we're going to take that opportunity, we have to win that opening game.
Can it maybe have the opposite effect, Andy? Maybe not on the players, but just sort of general expectation that if there were people, you know, going into that game thinking, it should be, you know, an easy 3 points, it maybe makes people just make sure that they're on it and there's no complacency there.
Well, you would hope so. I mean, they're obviously, they'll have every single nook and cranny checked out, and they'll have planned for every eventuality. Just as a fan, genuinely, the first time that my stomach sunk a wee bit, I watched that score last night. And I watched the highlights, I thought, God's sake, they're a bit better than I thought it was. No, it was just that I thought, and I wondered whether it had an impact on the players. But it's kind of the same. The first time we played them, and I'm pretty sure the backroom team would have done their job. Andrew, I've got a wee point on Celtic situation. Is it all right for you? Time for me?
Yeah, fire away.
Just in terms of the whole conversation and who comes in, I believe that Martin O'Neill definitely deserves a chance. I believe that I also give Celtic an opportunity, and he's actually mentioned it last week. There's an opportunity maybe to change the structure a wee bit, to maybe plan a couple of years ahead, right? I think Martin O'Neill, everybody knows that he's maybe known the training field as much as possible, so he needs guys running about him that he can trust to lead. Whether or not Sean Maloney's the man for that, I don't know, but there's an opportunity. Martin O'Neill could maybe could go another season, potentially two seasons, right? But I think we created a structure where we put in place the guy that's going to replace him. He works under him towards taking over the team, so there's continuity with the shape, continuity with the signings. And I'm going to say something, and you'll probably laugh at me, but I think that this is the kind of route the Celtic should be doing. Personally, I would look at appointing an assistant player manager, right? And I would be contacting somebody. In fact, I know who it was. I'd be contacting Andy Robertson right now. I know there's a cost. I'd be saying to him, you come in as assistant manager player. He's 32 just now. We have you. If that's what he wants to do long term, I think I've heard them saying before it is. He's not committed to Tottenham yet. It would cost a wee bit of money. But then he's got a leader in the pitch. If he keeps another couple of leadership team that he's got there just now, it means that the Celtic might be able to actually go and sign some promising youngsters, because there's a lot of experience running about. It's a way off target with what everybody else says, but I think it would be a great move.
Whether it is, you know, Andy Robertson, as Andy says, who I think that move to Tottenham is pretty much done and dusted. But if Martin O'Neill is to stay for, say, it's another year, and he has people working underneath him, and you look at Sean Maloney, you look at Mark Fotheringham, who have both been managers in their own right, do you think that could be a succession plan in itself? That, you know, those two guys who have been managers, if they're there working with Martin O'Neill for another year, could that be the succession plan rather than maybe, you know, a sort of player manager, as Andy says?
Listen, I think it could be, because they've got two very promising coaches. I mean, I can speak firsthand about Mark Fotheringham. He's top level. It's as simple as that. You know, he's went in with Martin again. I don't even know what the exact relationship between Martin and Mark was, but the fact that Martin has phoned Mark Fotheringham and asked him to come in and help to work alongside Sean, the fact that, again, he's got previous working in the Bundesliga, and I've sat on the show and actually sang his praises before, but there's not many Scottish coaches have worked at the Bundesliga level. You know, this guy's went there, and again, an older coach, Felix Magath, takes Mark Fotheringham there to do the work and do the training and coach the team. And I think when you've got these kind of guys that are putting so much faith in him, I think it does tell you where he stands in the coaching world. So I know he's a top coach, and I know he will be a top manager as well. Sean Maloney as well. Sean was on a pro licence. Obviously, I played with Sean, club and country. So I know exactly where his brain's at. He's got two guys in that building that absolutely, I think Martin himself would be looking at these guys to think, you know what, you guys could be potential Celtic managers. By the way, you need to earn it. You need to earn that right. But I think when you're playing part as in a successful team, which has just won the league and won the cup, if they can then follow that up next year, it puts them into a stronger position to maybe just step in if Martin wanted to step away. In terms of the Andy Robertson one, I think Andy might have a wee bit more time, playing time in his career left over than maybe making that kind of jump at the moment. But it's a good thought. Again, it's a really well thought out point, because again, having guys in the building who can carry the manager's message onto the pitch is invaluable to any head coach. So I get the point, and I think maybe further down the line, maybe, but I think Andy might have a few years left in him yet.
Well, thank you to Andy on the line, 01419511025. It's time to play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Kenny Miller has played at the very top level of football, but when he sat in this chair, he realised we were playing Beat the Pundit tonight and said, I'm nervous.
Very nervous. I've been away for a few years now. The finger is... I've kept it on the pulse, but I don't know if I'm as confident as what I once was.
Well, if you want to capitalise on Kenny Miller's nerves, all you need to do is phone 0141 951 1025 during the next break, and you could play Beat the Pundit.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Kenny Miller here with me, Andrew McLean, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We've been looking at Celtic's managerial situation, so any more calls on that? 0141 951 1025. Of course, the build-up to the World Cup never stops, so maybe it's international stuff that you want to get your teeth into. We'll take a look at the fact that St Mirren are getting set to announce Craig McLeish as their next permanent boss. We'll maybe get Kenny Miller's thoughts on Lauren Shankland signing for Rangers as well as a former Rangers striker, but we'll play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
And it's going to be Chris who is playing Beat the Pundit. Chris, how do you fancy your chances?
I fancy my chances against Kenny, no bother.
Is that because you heard he was nervous?
Aye. I know Kenny, so Kenny, how you doing? It's Chris for Boxfish.
Oh, no way. No way. Mate, come on, you've got to let me win, all right? I'll bring my pair of shoes in tomorrow.
No chance, man.
How do you know each other?
He's Boxfish. He does all the cleans, all the lads' trainers, get some sparkling new again. If anybody needs to go to a place, get the shoes done, go to Box Fresh.
There you go. That's why Chris phoned in. He doesn't care. He doesn't care about winning or losing now. He's had his shout out there.
Yeah. I'm away. Thanks very much.
Have you played before, Chris?
I've never played before, no.
Right. We will put something else in the ear of Kenny Miller so he cannot hear us. No coin flip needed, of course, with the one pundit on the summer show. So for you, Chris, it is 30 seconds on the clock to answer as many questions as you can. Remember, you can pass as well if that helps you out. Is that all good?
Yeah, all good.
Right, let's go for it. Who was Celtic's last permanent Scottish manager?
Pass.
The Scotland national team have announced a partnership with which soft drink?
Pepsi Max.
Bojan Miowski has caps for what country?
Pass.
How many wins did Aberdeen have in last season's Europa Conference League?
One.
What kit manufacturer did Scotland have before Adidas?
Diadora.
What European city held this year's Champions League final?
Turkey. Istanbul.
Okay, we will bring Kenny back in. Can you hear us, Kenny?
Yeah, that was longer than 30 seconds, by the way.
No. That was just normal 30 seconds. And we'll do the same for you now. Who was Celtic's last permanent Scottish manager?
Pass.
The Scotland national team have announced a partnership with which soft drink?
Iron Brew.
Bojan Miowski has caps for what country?
North Macedonia.
How many wins did Aberdeen have in last season's Europa Conference League?
One.
What kit manufacturer did Scotland have before Adidas?
Diadora.
What European city held this year's Champions League final?
Budapest.
Name the last non-city club to win the Scottish top flight.
Non-city club.
Yeah.
St Johnston.
Right, we will bring Chris back in. Chris, how do you feel that went?
I'm raging. I had Budapest right in the tip of my tongue, and I kept thinking it was in Turkey, but it was Budapest, wasn't it? And Gordon Strachan was the Celtic manager.
There we go. Chris is getting them all now.
It's
right.
Easy when it's done, though, Chris. Yeah, Google
it. Pressure, I know.
Harder when the pressure is on. Right, let's go through them. Who was Celtic's last permanent Scottish manager? It is Gordon Strachan, Chris, but neither of you got it in the allotted time. The Scotland national team have announced a partnership with which soft drink? You went for Iron Brew, which you think would be
the obvious answer.
But it's Pepsi Max.
Okay.
Chris got it.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, it was announced today. I think Iron Brew went big on a Scotland advert yesterday for the World Cup, and then the SFA retaliated. Well,
it's actually poor, isn't it? Really poor. There's no Iron Brew.
Going for Pepsi Max, but it is 1-0 to Chris. Bojan Miowski has caps for what country? Kenny Miller hits back. 1-1. It is North Macedonia. How many wins did Aberdeen have in last season's Europa Conference League? You both went for one. The answer's zero. Two draws, four defeats for Aberdeen. So remains 1-1. What kit manufacturer did Scotland have before Adidas? I mean, Kenny played in these kits and you got it right. It is Diadora.
Was it?
Oh, yeah.
That was just a pure guess.
Between 2003 and 2010. I actually can't believe that it's been Adidas since 2010. But there you go. Chris got it as well,
though.
So it is 2-2. What European city held this year's Champions League final? Oh. Chris was scrambling about. He was saying Turkey. He was trying to think. You then went for Istanbul. You went for Budapest, which is the correct answer. 3-2 to Kenny Miller. And Chris didn't get any more questions in. So Kenny gets it. You did get one more question in. Name the last non-city club to win the Scottish top flight. So you went for a city club.
Yeah.
In St Johnston. It's Kilmarnock. They are the last non-city club to win it in 1965. So it is a 3-2 win for Kenny Miller. He was nervous, but he's managed to shake off the nerves.
Just kept the record up there, Andrew.
Against his pal Chris. How are you feeling about that, Chris?
I said, better man won there. Yeah. I'll get him next time.
Gracious in defeat.
Exactly. I know. He'll be loving it. He'll text me in a minute.
Who's your team, Chris?
Rangers.
How are you feeling about what's going on at Rangers, signing a Lauren Shankland? Happy with that?
Aye, buzzing with that. It's been a long time coming. Actually, been a few years ago, to be honest. Everybody knows that. But we always start the season for optimism, don't we? And then it just around about Christmas time, it starts to dip. So hopefully, it's not the case this season, we can kick on a bit, but wait and see. I'm not convinced in the manager, if I'm being honest, but we definitely need some strong signings this summer. So,
was Lauren Shankman a good start to those signings, Kenny, do you feel?
Listen, I think, like Chris and a lot of other Rangers supporters, it probably should have been a signing that was made 2 years ago. So it'll be a good signing, no doubt. He'll score goals. He's proven that over his career. So he's playing for the club that he supported. I think that as a player in the building, for me, it cares. He's going to care about the club and wants the club well and want to do well. So yeah, I think it'll be a good signing. But like Chris, I just think it's probably a few seasons too late.
Steve Clark has been very loyal, especially in the striking department. We've seen Lyndon Dykes and Shea Adams starting up there for a lot of his tenure. Do you think that could be different going into this World Cup? Lauren Shankland is obviously coming off the back of a good season. He started against Curaçao, got a couple of goals. Could that potentially be an indicator that Steve Clark's looking at him to try and provide the goals over in America?
I think he will. He's the best possible chance we have of getting goals. That's for sure. He's the best goal scorer we've got. So, and again, he's done himself no harm with getting the double in the game last week. So, again, I still think Steve would go for Shea Adams at the start of the World Cup for sure. But there's no doubt if in these games, if he's needing a goal, he's going to have Lauren Shankly on there. And I just think all the strikers bring something different to the table. You know, there is a real, they've all got their strengths. They've all got things that they're really, really good at and they can bring to the team. I think Shea will probably get the nod. But there's no doubt the best goal scorer in the bunch is Lauren Shankland.
Thank you to Chris. I'm sure you'll be getting a text from Kenny at the next break.
You will do, Chris. Thanks, mate.
Thank you to Chris. Right, let's look at the St Mirren situation, because it's understood that Craig McLeish is going to be appointed their manager on a permanent basis. He took interim charge in March when Stephen Robinson left. A bit of debate about whether he should get the job, shouldn't get the job. Obviously kept them up through the playoffs. How do you feel about that decision to keep him on, Kenny?
Well, you know, we just discussed about a succession plan at Celtic and having people in the building that can step into the role. I mean, Craig McLeish was there. You know, he was given the opportunity. Again, was it a glamorous appointment? No. There's no getting away from that. Would St Mirren maybe expect, after the seasons they've had under Stephen Robinson and the finishing top six, winning the cup, would they expect maybe a more household name? Probably they would. But they've went for Craig McLeish because they see the quality. They've seen it probably for a number of years in the building. So, again, I don't think St Mirren's results were great towards the end of the season. Their performances were probably not at the level that St Mirren fans would like to see as well. So, to that is a little bit surprising. But it's not necessarily just about that period. It's about, do they believe that Craig McLeish is going to be the right man? Clearly, they do. And they believe in him, so they're going to give him an opportunity. So, again, is it right or wrong? We'll find out pretty quickly. We've had a small view, and I think he was trying to change a lot in terms of the style and how they played. Again, now he's going to have a pre-season to work with that, and now you'll see a Craig McLeish team start the next season, and we'll find out pretty quickly if it's good enough.
Tom is a St Mirren fan in Paisley. Tom, are you happy with that news, that it looks as if Craig McLeish is going to be the permanent manager?
Very delighted, Andrew. Sorry, good Andrew. Good evening, Andrew. Good evening, Kenny.
Good evening, Tom.
What it is, I'm very happy. I'm delighted for the guy because he kept us up in the division and he's got a lot of good people behind him. Stuart Taylor, Al McManus, Jamie Lanfield. I know, disrespect the last caller, every manager deserves a chance and I hope the boy gets a chance. They've done well to keep us up at the end of the day. Everybody says the cheap option. I think my personal opinion, he'll do well for the club. He's a Simon supporter. He'll do well for the club. And I wish the guy every success. And I hope the fans back him to the hills, Andrew.
Kenny was mentioning there that Craig McLeish came in, tried to change the style. It was a very different style of football from what Stephen Robinson was doing. Do you hope that, you know, if he gets that backing in this summer window, manages to get quite a few players in that he feels is suited to his style of play, that can really bring out the best in what he's trying to do?
He's got the makings of a good team, but as I say, no disrespect to him, Andrew. He's got to, I can't wait to speculate, he's got to bring in players, and players have got to leave at the end. The players he's bringing in, he's got to get the best out of them. As I understand where I'm coming from, Andrew, he's got to get the best out of them.
Yeah, Craig McLeish towards the end of the season in a press conference was talking about how he feels there's maybe a bit of a shift going to be happening at St Mirren this summer, that there's going to be a bigger focus on youth, and that's not just the guys coming through the youth academy, but also the players that they're bringing in the transfer market are more likely to be of a younger type. He then mentioned that, you know, he first of all has worked with the players in the academy. He felt that he would be the best man to help them develop, but also help young players that they bring in develop as well, because that's his background. He talked about the likes of Kellyan Phillips, who came in and has developed. Miguel Freckleton has come in and developed as well. Could that continuity help someone that knows the youth system at St Mirren, but also has that, you know, track record of developing youth players?
You know, I'm in the game, you know, and I'm a bit cynical about when I hear these types of things, because it's a sales pitch.
Mm-hmm.
It's a sales pitch to get a job. That's the reality. St Mirren fans will no care what age the players are on that pitch,
yep,
if they're down the bottom of the league the way they were this year. Because again, to go on Tom's point, he kept them up in a playoff game, but he put them in the playoff. Like, this is the reality. They were sitting out with the playoff for a long, long spell and found themselves well in the playoff, by the way, come the end of the season, because the points accumulated were nowhere near enough to get them away from it. So it's he's got a lot to prove. You know, he's got a lot to prove in it. And I think young coaches, it's good to see them get an opportunity. And again, the club clearly believe that he's the right man to take the club forward. How is his track record in youth development? How many players has he taken and put in St Mirren's first team? You know, these are all the questions I would have been asking, because for me, there's a lot that's fine with that, having that soundbite, because it's great. Everybody wants younger players in the team and young, good energy, and you can bring them in, develop them, and hopefully sell them on. Again, it's not a new plan. You know, it's a plan that every club's got, you know. So it'll remain to be seen. Listen, hopefully he does the job. He gets the job firstly. Again, it's not been announced as yet, I don't think. So if he gets the opportunity, I know Stuart Taylor very well as well. He's his assistant, and he's a very capable head coach, never mind an assistant. So he has got good staff behind him that will be able to help him and guide him.
Thank you to Tom on the line. Final chance to get your calls in next. 0141 951 1025. While you do that, I will tell you this.
Grade one.
We are kicking off summer with your chance to bag £750,000 tomorrow. That's a guaranteed £750,000 every Friday in June, but you've got to be in the draw to win it. Text YES to 61025, text or 250, plus your standard network rate. You can also enter online at makemeawinner.co.uk. You'll find the rules for this network competition there too, or call 03434 269 340. Calls are charged at the standard rate. You need to be over 18, and lines close at 5 o'clock tomorrow. And if you win, just answer your phone. You'll get a phone call. All you need to do, answer it. Simple as that. £750,000 will be yours, paid straight into your bank account after the call. So for your chance to win, text YES to 61025 now.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Kenny Miller here with me, Andrew McLean. So any final thoughts, 0141 951 1025, whether it is Celtic's managerial hunt, maybe you are thinking about the World Cup, if you're looking at the fact that Craig McLeish looks set to be announced as the St Mirren manager on a permanent basis, and Calvin Miller joining Hearts from Falkirk is an interesting one too. 0141 951 1025. Just on Calvin Miller, is that a good signing, you feel, for Hearts?
He's had a wonderful season, that's for sure. I played with Calvin, actually. He came on loan to Dundee when he was still a Celtic player. He was a young man at that time. I think he was still, was he a left back? Was he a left winger? You know, he's definitely found his role now, you know, and I think he found a good team and a good coach and a good manager there that believed in him and gave him the platform to go play. I mean, I think Falkirk had an incredible season. I mean, they really did. And played some really, really good football along the way. Again, just talking about recruitment with Motherwell, I think Falkirk's was incredible as well. And I know they're scouting, I know how good he is, and he's what a wonderful eye for a player Alan's got. And you see the lone players and how they impacted it. Calvin Miller coming into the team and how he's Stuart up front as well, which was an incredible signing. So yeah, they're in a good place, Falkirk. Calvin leaving will leave a hole, but I think they'll have enough there to then go and replace him. He's now got to step up, Calvin, to go and do it at Hearts, and a team that have had a really strong season as well. But it's a good move. He's earned it, again, for a wonderful season.
Because people look at Hearts and they look at Jamestown Analytics, and as soon as you think about that, you think of, you know, rogue signings from the lower leagues in different countries. You saw what happened with Claudio Braga coming from the second division in Norway, and they've done it with a few different players. Kizaridis coming from, was it Slovakia that he came from? But Dennett McInnes will also want, you know, a basis of players who are experienced in Scottish football, a Scottish core to that team, which I'm sure will run through the sort of Jamestown analytics to make sure that they fit into the style. But last season, you know, Stuart Finlay was signed, had a fantastic season. And Calvin Miller, you've got Craig Halkett. They need that Scottish core as well, or certainly, you know, maybe guys that have been in Scottish football and experienced it, and then feed through the other, maybe more rogue signings.
No, for sure. And I think like Calvin, I think Calvin will definitely, he'll be part of that quota, like the Scottish contingent, who you're bringing Scottish players who have been in the league, know the league, again, have performed very, very well in the league. But just I don't think that would be enough for Hearts to sign him. But like you say, with the way that they sign their players, so he's clearly ticking a lot of boxes, not just the Scottish box. Mm-hmm. He's been right under their nose, obviously, and had a fantastic season. But the fact that he's signing them, they believe that he'll fit into the way they want to play. It definitely fits within the league because he's done it, but it's not as easy just to, right, you do it for Falkirk, you'll do it for Hearts, or you'll do it for summer team, you'll do it for Rangers, Celtic. So the fact that they've signed them, I think you could probably bet it'll be a really, really good signing for Hearts, because I don't think they've had too many kind of misses in terms of the recruitment over the last year or so.
Is the biggest test for Jamestown how they're going to find that Lauren Shankland replacement, because he obviously offered goals, but offered the team a lot more than just goals as well. So he's going to be a really tough player for them to try and replace going into next season.
It will be, and like you say, it's not just the goals, it'll be the leadership qualities that he's shown, and he's taking on the responsibility being the captain and the talisman of that team really, really well. Again, he's an experienced player now. He's 30 or just going on 31. He's, again, he's a top player in our league, you know, so for them to find him. But again, when you look at how the when he was injured in January, I was expecting them just to go and sign somewhere else who'd come in, and they did. They went and got another signing or two that came in and replaced it. It was Devlin was injured, and Halkett had been injured over the course of the season. Shanklin was injured for a long while. Beningame had been injured for times. They just go and sign guys that can come in and hit the ground running, you know, and that's the thing with Hearts. I don't see them going anywhere in that respect. Are they going to be able to really mount a challenge the same way they did? Well, you expect Rangers and Celtic to be a lot stronger and playing a lot better football next season, but I just don't see. I'm intrigued to see what Hearts do. I really do. I said it when Tony Bloom came in, because he makes a statement that he wants to challenge, and he does it within a year.
0141 951 1025. Brian is up next in Paisley. Brian, what have you got for us this evening?
Hi Andrew, hi Kenny.
Hi Brian.
Hiya. I've got a couple of points. First one being Scotland and their approach come Saturday and the Haiti game. Basically, I think we should be forward thinking, have our two wingers, Doak and Curtis, going for the teams, going for both teams. Because the Haiti game, we really need a result. That's the game where we need the points. We need the full points if we're serious about progressing. And I feel that our wingers will be massive in that game. Because Haiti, I feel like they're a emotional team from what I'm hearing against New Zealand. They were flooding forward. So I feel that we could get them. We could get them in the break, and if we play Shankland again, maybe a foil of Dykes again, or even Shea Adams, they could be vulnerable to us. And I just feel that we need to be forward thinking, going for them, be a bit more reserved in the other two games, see if we can maybe sneak a point, but try and win, give them respect, Haiti, but try and win by a couple of clear goals and give us a good chance of progressing on. I don't know what you think. Obviously, you will be thinking along the lines, but giving full respect to Haiti, but go with the two wingers and trying to be positive.
I've got a question for Brian, actually. If you play two wingers, Brian, who's your two centre midfielders?
Well, I would have McGinn and McTominay.
Quite a few players that will be disappointed to be missing out based on the form. There's just so much quality in the middle of the park for Scotland that it just creates a headache for Steve Clarke, doesn't it?
And you know what? None of them are the midfielders to play in that system. Like, mm-hmm. they're attacking players. You know, so who's going to be the guy who's kind of maybe a little bit more disciplined? Because I know Scott could definitely do it. He's a wonderful footballer. But then are you taking away his main strengths? Because there's no doubt McGinn's strengths are at the other end of the pitch, getting into the box, box arriving, getting the goals and the chances he's got. So again, I really like the thought behind it. And I think what we do have now, Brian, we now do have wingers in the team where we can play that way. I think up until Doak coming into the team, and now obviously Finlay Curtis has been a revelation towards the end of the season. And he's, again, he's a player that's fought his way into the squad in the last few months of the season. So we now have the ability where we can do that. I don't think we'll start with it. I think that would be something we would see maybe coming on if we need a goal and we need more of an attacking threat. Because based on, again, I'm not disagreeing with Brian saying we should do it. I just look at the midfield and think you've got McGinn, McTominay, you've got Lewis Ferguson, you've got Kenny McLean, you've got Ryan Christie. Obviously, you're missing Billy Gilmore now with the injury. But there's so many players that can be playing, and if you're limiting that just to two players, I don't know if McGinn and McTominay are the two guys to play in that type of system.
Do you see the dilemma there, Brian?
No, fair enough. I was also thinking there, what about taking Dykes out and maybe playing either McGinn or McTominay further up and putting like a McLean or a Ferguson in the midfield there and giving a bit more balance to that system. But I know that it's a conundrum, obviously, in the middle there. We have got so many good midfielders. And it isn't a balancing act, obviously, trying to find that balance. But I just feel that, obviously, Haiti is the game that we really need to be going for it. And I just feel they can be got at. And I know they won against New Zealand, but I don't take much into that because it's a friendly, the same as our games are friendly. And a lot of teams are really just getting minutes into players' legs. I know that Holland got beat the other night there by Algeria, so you have funny results appearing everywhere, and just about getting minutes in the players' legs and trying to not have any injuries. That's the thing. But hopefully we can get the 3 points and a couple of clear goals against Haiti and give us a good chance of progressing.
Thank you to Brian. That's all we've got time for on the phones. Just very quickly before we finish up, I was wanting to pick your brain on the fact that we've had a few callers this week talking about Robbie Keane, saying that, you know, his track record, that club's can it prepare him for life at Celtic. You of course were at Maccabi Tel Aviv last season. He spent time there as manager. Is it the type of club that you know prepares you for life at the old firm?
Yes.
Yeah.
It is absolutely a mirror image of what Glasgow like, if not maybe worse, in terms of the scrutiny that you're under. And I wouldn't say for the pressures and the demands, because it is equal. But in terms of the media coverage and the scrutiny that you're coming under as a head coach in Maccabi Tel Aviv, you are expected to win every single game, no exception. So that, in that respect, it will say, I mean, again, the fact he's went for Enzvaros, who have been, what is it, won the league for the last until this year,
yep,
for however many years. So
seven, I think it was.
So I think he's definitely, I can speak firstly about Maccabi, for sure. That'll prepare him very well.
Well, thank you very much to Kenny Miller. Thank you to you on the phones, watching on the live stream, just listening at home as well. I'll be back tomorrow night for more discussion. Will there be a new Celtic manager? Will Craig McLeish have been confirmed? It's a day closer to Scotland's game against Bolivia, so make sure to tune in and stick around, because it's Callum Gallagher who is up next.